Today, continuing our family time discussion, I know that I could make an announcement like that and it would be fine, but what I want to make sure is I want us to know, how do we think about things? How do we think about money, material things in general? Sometimes people go, well, it's all evil. No, it's not. But how do you think about it? It's a necessity, but also it can cause challenges, right? Think about fire. Fire is good, right? I mean, it warms us. It cooks our food. It's necessary for survival. But then fire can also be bad, right? We see some of the people out west and these fires that are coming and destroying their property. A fire, if you've ever been in a home, Deb's family's house burned to the ground. It's devastating. So is fire good or bad? Well, it's potential. That's all it is. And that's the way money and material things are. It's not a good or bad thing, but how do we think about it? That's what I want us to think about today. In Matthew chapter 6, the theme for the rest of this year is going to be finish strong. So I'm going to just classify this one under finishing strong, because this is part of it. And in Matthew 6, Jesus had this to say. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now here, the Lord is talking about where our hearts, our affections, where our hope, where our foundation is. And he says, you can't serve one or the other. One is going to be master. The other will be servant to that. Sometimes when I can make money my master, then God's my servant. Okay, God, I pray you'll help me to do better. I help you protect this. I pray. See, all of a sudden I'm using God. But when I make God my master, now it's like, okay, what can I do with this thing called money? And so as I'm reading this passage, Jesus talks about, look, Sheridan, put your treasures in heaven. Put your ultimate value there. Let that be where your anchor is. He goes, and keep in mind what you focus on. That's what he's talking about, the eyes are the lamp of the body. What do we focus on? What are we really, you know, putting our attention on to? If it's things that are bad, what's going to happen? It will reflect in our life. I believe that my life is a reflection of what I love. I believe that. And anyone that spends time with me a while, they're going to see what I love. Because they're going to notice what I'm focused on. They're going to notice where my passions are. They're going to notice where my desires are. And it's the same with you. I love college football. I spoke at the devotional last night. So that meant I had to tape the Gator game. Now, Ed Mann sent me a text, and I didn't know how to interpret the text. I didn't want to ask him how to interpret the text. I didn't want it to be ruined for me. But he said a deep six. And he had this smiley face on there, a deep six. Okay, I guess that means we won by six, but I'm not going to call. I don't want to talk to him. So I got home, and I turned that game on. And it's like, it's 20-13, and I'm thinking, you know, the Gators are winning, and I'm thinking, okay, where's the deep six? I don't see the, what does this mean? We're going to win by a field goal, but it's already set. And then Tennessee ties it up. And there's less than about a minute left. And they kick off to the Gators. And the Gators kind of do it a little bit. I go, where's the six? Are we going to kick too quick? How can we do that? 9 seconds left in the game. 9 seconds left. And the Gator quarterback threw the ball 63 yards in the air, and a Gator caught it in the end zone. Game over. Gators win. Deep six right there, all right? Deep 6 points. Now, needless to say, I was fired up. I was excited. I couldn't believe. Now I got to try and go to bed after this. Oh, no, you know, your juice. You're around me, you'll know I love that. But I promise you this, you're around me, you'll know there's someone I love a lot more than that. Someone that demands all my passion, all my, and doesn't demand it, no, do it. Inspires it. It's great. And so I focus, that's where my treasure is. There are times I struggle, guys. There are times I want things. There are times I want a lot of things. And I find myself, my heart going after that. And then all of a sudden, I'm just forgetting why I do things. Well, I'm giving my contribution. I'm doing it. But why, Sheridan? Where's the understanding? Where's the inspiration? And so I read this passage, and Jesus comes into this world, a physical world, that there are physical needs. A world he created, yes, it's fallen, but we've got to live in a physical world. So how do we do that? That's where this thing, money, comes in. So as I read this passage, it poses two questions to me. And let's do this real quick. Question number one, what is money? What's he talking about? The answer to that is that money is potential. And like fire, it's potential for good or potential for bad. Let's look at this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, this one we'll read. Money has potential for incredible good. Oh my goodness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul is writing to the young evangelist Timothy there in Ephesus, and he's giving him instructions on how to help people. And look what he says in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now notice what he said. For those people that had money, it wasn't wrong for them to have money. But he says, here is the good that can be done. You can be generous. You can help people. Man, in 1 Corinthians 16, we don't have time to go there, but read verses 1 and 2. Paul was going around to churches taking up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church. And he told the Corinthian church, when I come, I want you to set aside first day of the week what you've been prospered, you set aside a portion to help the brothers and sisters. Money was good. It was available to help the Jerusalem church. It was available when you go in the book of Acts, Acts 2 and Acts 4. It talked about the disciples sharing everything together. No one had any needs. You know why? Some people had money and they took care of things. And think about it, they needed to, because the people that were converted in Acts 2 had gone up to the Passover feast from all over the surrounding area. And all of a sudden, they get converted to Jesus, which they hadn't planned on doing. So now they're hanging out to learn more about Jesus, which they hadn't planned on doing. So where are the provisions going to come from? The church got together and took care of each other. Money is the potential to do good. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 3, it talks about the women that followed Jesus. They supported him out of their own means. The idea of supporting missionary goes back to Jesus. He was supported. He'd spent the first 30 years of his life working with wood and stone, shaping them. He was going to spend the next 3 years on this earth shaping the eternal souls of men and women and do that full time. So what happened? The women supported him. Money was good. Early on in our movement, we had a dream of planting churches all over the world, which God allowed us to do. I know people that actually sold houses to raise money, sold their homes to raise money, to fund a mission planting. I know that. I know people that sold their diamond rings, you know, their wedding rings. I know that. I'm not saying you have to do that. No, but I'm just saying money was good. There are churches planted all over because money was raised and given. I know single moms that didn't give, quote unquote, that much, but they gave a treasure because it was their heart, and that's why those churches are planted. They inspired the hearts of people. It's like, wow, that person doesn't have much, but they wanted to be part of it. Money was good. There are people all over the world singing praises to Jesus the Christ because people sacrificed and gave. Man, that was good. That was good. Do you know in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, we are expected to take care of our family? Try doing that without money. Okay? I'm just going to take care of kids. We're not going to buy groceries at all. I'm just going to take care of you. We're not going to use money. No! It's good, isn't it? Money is necessary. It has the potential good. You take care of your family, your immediate family, your extended family. It is good. Without it, how can you take care of them? And if you don't take care of them, it says you've denied the faith. Notice what it says. One other thing here in 1 Timothy 6. It says that God richly provides us, verse 17, with everything for our enjoyment. Did you know it's okay to enjoy what money buys? It's okay, yeah. You provide for your family. You help other people in need. You take care of things. You want to go to a movie? Go to a movie. Spend the money. Is that what you like? Good. You want to go on vacation? Go on vacation. It's given for your enjoyment, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Do that. Some of you are going to end up driving 20 hours in a car with your kids to go to Disney World, and you're going to call that a vacation. Been there, done that. It was wonderful to get home and start working again just so I could rest. You know what I mean? Get back to, but you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But there is nothing wrong with that. God gives you things. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. So, money is good, has the potential to do good. But like fire, money has a potential to devastate. And I want us to look back up in 1 Timothy 6, a few verses before. In verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires and that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Money's not evil. The love of money can lead to a lot of evil. Now, why is that? Why is that? Let me read one other passage here in Luke 12. Jesus is approached by a man that wants him to arbitrate between he and his brother. And to divide an inheritance. And listen to what Jesus says to him. You know, first, you know, he says, look, who appointed me a judge? He goes in verse 15, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Why does the love of money lead to the root of all kinds of evil? Because that has the potential to be our God. That has access to all the other gods of this world, and that's why Jesus says, be careful. Greed, you know, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possession. Be careful, all sorts of greed. What is greed? Greed is an idolatrous desire for things. Idolatrous desire. It is a passion. What? Shouldn't you be ambitious? You be ambitious. Go as far as you can. I hope you make as much money as you can so you can be as generous as you can. That's the point. So that God is glorified. That's the point. But watch out, because you see, money is the next, it is the Baal of today, the God, the Asherah poles. That's it, man. We can, all of a sudden, all of our needs become met by money rather than by God. We find a security in money, our purpose in money, our ultimate happiness in money, all this and the other. Now, we don't really find that, but in pursuit of it. And all of a sudden, God is a concept. God is an afterthought. That's the thing, you know, where sometimes when people have the idea toward, let's say, a contribution. Well, let me see. Let me do this, 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 and if there's anything left over, boom, I'll throw it in the plate. God's people never approached it that way. Never approached it that way. It can devastate. It can take a person's heart out. And that's why Paul said that in 1 Timothy, many have wandered. They've wandered. It's a spiritual thing. So how am I to think about all this? Oh, money's bad. No, it's not bad. Oh, money's great. No, it is what you do with it. You can do so much good. You can enjoy. You can do all this. But it can also take you out. Is your treasure really going to be laid up in heaven? Is that your ultimate value? Are you willing, you know, to risk whatever it takes to be God's person? Again, let me say this. I hope all of you go as far as you can in your jobs. I hope you become multi-billionaires. Because there are a lot of needs in this world. And I hope your heart, man, you do that and you turn right around. I heard somewhere that someone in our early church plantings, there was a brother who owned a chain of stores. Very talented man. Built up this little empire of stores. And people would go to his house. His house was okay, but it wasn't anything like elaborate. For the money yet, he lived in just a very kind of middle class neighborhood, just a typical house. They told me he tithed, he gave 80% of his income to the church and lived on 20%. Now, yeah, his 20% was, you know, okay. But what he could have done and been all about him would have been, but I tell you what, we have people praising God in other languages than English because of that guy. I hope that for all of you. You get all of this and you help God's kingdom grow. Oh, God needs, you know, God doesn't need a thing, but He allows us to be part of it. So what is money? It's a potential for good or a potential for bad. The second question is, what do I believe in? When I read Matthew 6, it challenges me, Sheridan, what do you believe in? And the first part of that is, what do I believe in about God? Okay? God's people started with a tithe. God knew they have to live in a physical world, so you got to do that. So whatever would come to the people, they would first give God a tenth of it, and they would live on 90%. You know, it's kind of wild sometimes when people think of tithing. Now, in the New Testament, I know some brothers say, I can prove in the New Testament you need to tithe. I can prove. Me personally, I start with 10% and work my way up. That's what Deb and I have always tried to do. And we just got in the habit early on. When I was in campus and had no money, I made sure, first off, well, how do I think about this? Because I was taught, how do you think about your life? First part goes to God. And then figure out the rest. So that's what I would do. Son first, seek first, set first. That's how you think about it. Son first. Jesus is first all the time. Colossians 1:18 says that He has the supremacy. How do I live my life? Lord, You are Lord of all. I hope to be, I am, I have, you name it. Son first. Seek first. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, shelter, that'll be given to you. So I seek Him, I seek the kingdom first. Set first. 1 Corinthians 16, first day of the week, when I get paid, or whenever that day is, I first set aside what I'm giving to God. Son first, seek first, set first. You know why? God is God. I believe God is worth that. I believe He takes priority in every aspect of my life. So when it comes to things, boom, okay, there's God's. Now let me figure this out. We let the government do that to us all the time, right? The check you get, somebody's already gotten a hold of it, part of it, right? It's the federal government, it's the state government, and it's the city government. And they're going to keep trying to do that. But, you know, we don't sit there and say, well, that's just not, I mean, you can complain about it, but, you know, you just know that's the way it is. Why is it that we don't look at our life and what we come and say, there you go, Lord. First, first, first. Jesus says, Sheridan, set your heart treasures on things above. What do you really believe in, Sheridan? It'll be demonstrated by how you view things and what you have. And the other part of that is how I view myself. Right? What do I believe in about myself? Take time out and read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There are a lot of principles about generosity and giving. Paul, again, is pleading to the Gentile churches, you got to help out the poor church in Jerusalem. And so the churches in Galatia, man, they gave a lot. They were just, you know, and I want you guys to do the same. So he's kind of challenging them there. But he goes, I want there to be equality. I don't want one church to feel the whole burden to take care of some. I want everyone to do their part. Now, you know why he said that? Is because the way I view myself and the way Paul viewed himself and Christians view themselves, we are part of the body of Christ. I've got a part to do. So anything that's mine, part of that needs to belong, you know, God, what do you need? I'm part of this. It's my responsibility. A lot of times people say we need to stand up for our rights. I think you need to stand up for your rights. I tell you what, I want to challenge you to do something further. Stand up for your responsibilities. Stand up for your responsibilities. Are you part of God's kingdom? Are you part of His ministry? Are you part of this? If so, take part. Take responsibility. Yes, God owns everything, so why does He allow you to do it? Because you're part of it. Because He's given you the opportunity to keep your heart good and soft. Don't go after the created things. Stay focused on the Creator. Use created things for His glory, for the good of people. But don't let created things take your heart. How do you view yourself? Are you a part of that? Do your part. You know, brothers and sisters, the last thing I would ever want anyone to do is pray without knowing why. Is read without the Bible, without knowing why should I. Is fellowship with one another without knowing why. Is reaching out to your neighbors without knowing why. Is helping the poor without knowing why. I would hate for you to do that because you eventually would get resentful. You would hate it. You wouldn't like it because you're not inspired. You don't believe it. I want you to believe and understand everything you do. So when it comes to contribution, why? Why? Because that's who God is. That's who I am. I'm a part of it. I get to do good with what I have. I get to avoid the evil that it can cause in my life. And most importantly, the seeds that I sow with my effort, my time, my heart, my finances, my means, those seeds will last forever in the impact. That's what I believe. That's why I give. That's why when I found out May 21st, my goodness, what happened to that? It's not recorded in there. I didn't say, well, I give 51 other times and I save up. No. I need to do something about this right now. I need to get it in there because that's who God made me to be. That's who God made you to be.